Welcome again to the nice show and to our session. So we today show you a little bit about the Hitachi cloud stuff for private cloud, hybrid cloud, whatever. And we have two guys which have not, you know, German as a native language. So I'm from Bavaria, right? So,
and my I'm from Turkey, so
we try to use English most of the time, you know. So I'm Udo. I'm working for the so-called solution and product group, being a Microsoft solution lead in EMEA. So one piece is trying to hook up our solutions to the Microsoft ecosystem. And
my name is Anil. I'm working at Hitachi Data System as part of the services organization. And I'm also Azure and Cloud and Data Center Management MVP for the last 5 years. Yeah.
Okay, and together we want to show you a little bit about our stuff. So don't worry, it's just the first 10 minutes, it's up to me, you know, the PowerPoint guy. And then all this demo, you know, really interactive demo. And so don't worry. So first, let's take a view on our solution. And the main motivation of building a private cloud solution was really to have a programmable data center. Means we have nice hardware, right? So Japanese style, high quality, never fails, and all these kind of things. But the main motivation was to build a stack together with the automation. So without automation, it's just hardware, right? So I guess you agree in the time of cloud times. So, and we built a stack for all our partners. So today we talk about the Hyper-V or the Microsoft ecosystem, but the director, what we call the application doing the automation, is good for all ecosystems. So we have a plugin for also the guys we migrate, right, from VMware to Microsoft. So we do first automations here and then we migrate the stuff over to the new things. And behind the story is just, you know, you have the silos, you have storage, you have compute, you have network guys, and in the old times, you need to talk to 4 or 5 people, right, and convince everybody to help you and to assist you when it comes to storage provisioning, etc. And the main idea of the UCP director was to build an API where you just can say, do me the favor and make a new Hyper-V node, and the UCP director is doing all the steps for you in the backend, right? Nothing new, it's just a combination of workflows, more or less. I normally start with a hidden secret, and that's our compute, because everybody says normally, okay, what's the game from Hitachi? You know, we know Hitachi, they have your rock solid and bulletproof storage. But we're also quite long in the compute game. So we have also Michael here, a German guy, and he has quite a strong relationship to Japan, because his wife is from Japan. And when you start with talking about compute, Hitachi says, what's new here? We built compute since 1950 or so. Together with IBM, they, you know, worked on the mainframes and all these things. But here in Europe, it's still, I guess, unknown that we really have our own compute brand, right? And the focus from Hitachi was building a blade system. And in Japan, we have about 25% market share, so it's well known. It's a little bit like Siemens in Germany, right? So everybody knows Siemens, and you're proud to work for Hitachi, and you start at Hitachi, and you maybe die at Hitachi. And the compute are really, you know, good products. And for the smaller rack servers, we have not built it our own. We just, you know, leverage the relationship to Quanta. So it's the same box as you have seen from other vendors with a different logo. But what makes a compute from Hitachi different? So we have 2-3 features, what you don't expect from a blade system. So one is, in short, you have like a hardware hypervisor, so it's the same game as with Hyper-V or VMware. You slice your hardware resources into pieces and say, okay, I just need a server with 2 cores and with, you know, 50 gig RAM or whatever. And it's like an isolation on the hardware level, right? And you also can glue that together to have a really big compute node. So when you take the big blades we have on the right side, so you can build a really big compute block, and it's looking like one server. So it's massive, you know, you can build a 12 terabyte, so the actual Windows server cannot support it, right? You can build a Hyper-V server with 12 terabyte RAM and, you know, a few hundred sockets, of course, And so that's the two tricks. We got that from the IBM mainframe technology when we worked with IBM. So it's quite normal for us. And what we also can do is we can, if we have some special configuration, especially for our scale-out file server friends, we can put in, you know, 40 gig Emulex or Mellanox cards and to provide really fast network stuff. So you lose a slot in the compute chassis, but you can provide some special network cards or special, you know, Fusion I/O or whatever flash cards. And I guess these three features are not normal for blades, right? You cannot extend it. And the big machine we have, you see the rear view on the right side, each blade has 2 to 4 PCI slots as default, you know? And we use that because in Japan we do quite a lot with InfiniBand, so with high performance computing, so you need additional PCI slots, you know? And it's easier to extend the capability of a server. So that's just a short view on the compute. And our unified compute solution, what is the name of the stack we show you today, is, you know, we have our storage, well-known, Hitachi branded. We have our compute, you know that we are also a long time in the compute business. But the Japanese way, why you don't know it, is don't talk about. You know, I mean, we build really cool stuff, but in Japan, you don't do advertisement. You know, the technology must sell itself, you know. So a little bit like the old Siemens way, right? Good technology, no marketing. So that's why we are here today. So. And in the middle sector, for the connectivity, it's still fiber channel to the storage. But we are a little bit open. You know, it could be Brocade or Cisco. Depends on the flavor you like more or not. And what we really did differently, not just putting, you know, hardware together and call it a reference architecture, is we built a software called UCP Director with what does all the automation, what we see later on from Anil. And it can be used from all kind of APIs or portals or whatever you like. And the main differentiator is really this API, you know? So you have an API to the SAN storage, an API to the fiber channel switch, to the Ethernet switch. And we are talking about really, you know, one consistent API for all ecosystems we support, you know, for Hyper-V, for VMware, for OpenStack, whatever. But we will see it in the detail. Something to add here?
No.
Okay. And so we test the full stack, and you get it as a full installation at the customer, and then you put your workload on it. So we have a few more solutions regarding the director. So we have a smaller one, the UCP 1000. Right now is not made for Hyper-V because Microsoft don't have a hyper-converged setup now. So we have seen it maybe today in the tech in the keynote. So the left side is for Windows Server 2016, running hyper-converged or disaggregated, you know, scale-out file server with local disk or whatever you like, you know. So we are already prepared for that. The 2000 is an entry point without automation. From the director point of view, we still have PowerShell for storage, for compute, for Ethernet, so you can build your own automation. But what we show today is really the complete stack with a UCP director in the middle. So the 4000E is also a smaller one. And the 4000, which is the main product, which scales up to 128 blades per stack. So if you need more, then you buy another stack, a building block or whatever. And the big one, the 6000, is more for big databases, Oracle, SAP HANA, or SQL Server, where you normally don't need automation every day because you install it, right? And then you load your data on it and that's it. You don't provision a SQL server with, you know, a few hundred cores every day, right? So the automation, what you need is not so much. So we talk more, or our main mission is about the virtualization, and that's why we show you the UCP director today. Regarding the automation, we had a second goal, and the second goal was you don't need to leave the ecosystem from your partner. In our case, that's the virtual machine manager. So you don't need to learn, you know, 10 different Hyper-V, 10 different Hitachi tools to provision your storage. You just use your virtual machine manager, and we have a hookup in the, as a plugin. And from the API point of view, it looks like, you know, you have storage below. And you have a plugin into the virtual machine manager, and you never have to leave the virtual machine manager to do something. In the back end, we have our, you know, Hitachi tools running, talking to storage and to compute, but the main entry point is always the plugin, or PowerShell, or REST API. But we will see that more. We also have a monitoring plugin for the whole stack for the operations manager. And yeah, Orchestrator is anyway clear. If you have PowerShell or REST API, you can do everything with Orchestrator, or also SMA or Azure Resource Management or whatever you like, you know. That's why for us the API to the stack is important, you know. Not just we have 200, 300 pages how to install it and how to plug it in correctly. It's also to run and operate it the whole day, right? I call the UCP director always the man in the middle, so he's in charge for everything. He's talking to storage, he's talking to compute. He knows what's already installed, means which port is connected where. For that, we have a small database. And for the installation of the blades, we use a totally new technology. We use a Windows deployment services, right? Nobody knows that, totally secret. And so we just use normal standard APIs to deploy a Windows server on the blade, nothing new. We have two plugins. One is for vCenter and one is for a virtual machine manager. And yeah, the rest are the Hitachi tools, right? But we see it in action. It makes more sense to see it in action. One of the starting points on the hardware side was you need some kind of hardware profile. So when a server dies or when you install a server, you save all the information regarding the server, you know, the MAC addresses and so on, in a database. When the blade dies, you just replace it. And you put the old identity on the new blade, right? Because if you don't do that, you have to, you know, reconfigure everything when it comes to MAC addresses or fiber channel addresses. That's the main idea. I guess you have seen that from other vendors, so nothing new. But we combine that solution with, you know, like a service template. And you see, you know, IP and fiber channel and storage and a Windows operating system in our case, we can deploy to a blade. We even enhance a virtual machine manager with the feature you can deploy a bare metal Windows server, which is not a Hyper-V server, and you can deploy a Linux server also on the blade, which you normally don't do with the virtual machine manager, right? But as you have seen, the man in the middle just uses a WDS, and you can use WDS to deploy a Linux machine. So no super trick here, right? But the combination is a trick to do the API stuff. That was, you know, the pre-sales
presentation
style. And but as I said, I promised, you know, you will see all the demos. Here. Right.
Okay. Thank you very much. So I will try to do a quick demo because we have 30 minutes, and I will show you how UCP Director is integrated with Microsoft ecosystem, especially for the virtual machine manager, and also I will try to show you how. UCP Director API enables additional scenarios for you, enables scenarios to consume your hardware from different type of cloud portals. So I'm sure you all would agree that Microsoft did a great job with Virtual Machine Manager to provide one single pane of glass, one single management console to enable software-defined infrastructure. Because right now, I'm speaking about the current version, 2012. Right now, we have on the left-hand side, you can manage the whole virtualization layer above the hypervisor through the virtual machine manager. You can create the cluster. You can add your bare metal Hyper-V host here. You can also manage your logical networking, software-defined networking, you can enable network virtualization, you can create VLAN network sites, and also you can manage your storage, kind of. You can add SMS provider and do some minor, small actions. But at the end, you will have one single console to manage your logical networking, storage, and compute. So if you are not an old guy like Udo, you don't need to go to the Hyper-V manager, failover cluster each time. You will have one single virtual machine manager to manage all. What we are doing is just trying to extend the capabilities of virtual machine manager to have a more visibility over the infrastructure, over the hardware. Because when we are talking about virtualization, we should talk about network, physical network switches, and compute, and also storage. So UCP Director, actually, we have just two integration points. One is the GUI plugin, which is a very lightweight zip file that you can insert into the virtual machine manager, and you will have a visibility over your infrastructure, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. And also, we have API. And the API, as I said, enables additional scenarios for you and enables consumption model, consumption, the hardware, network, compute, and storage from different type of portals, cloud portals. You can consume your infrastructure through the API from Windows Azure Pack, Service Management Automation, Azure Automation, or any SaaS service portal you have. You can create day one or day zero services like creating a cluster or deploying a bare metal provisioning a server, and you can enable all these scenarios through the UCP Director API. So let me go through the plugin first. If you are using Virtual Machine Manager, you are used to the main navigation menu here. On the top, we have servers and then networking, and on the bottom, you have storage. So we try to provide the same experience for you. If you use the Virtual Machine Manager as a single console to manage all workflows above the hypervisor and below the hypervisor, you should stay in the Virtual Machine Manager console. You don't need to jump out to the storage console or SSH for networking or SMAS. So we try to make it seamless integration and provide same experience for you. So if I click here on the UCP Compute, this is for the servers. If I click UCP Director here, plugin, UCP Director just jumps to the, this resolution is not very good, but I will show you on the Internet Explorer as well. But the main idea is if I click the server node, UCP Director will show all the physical server details for me. Here is my UCP Director environment, Converge environment. I have four blades in one chassis, and I see all the details. So if I click the networking and UCP Director again, so UCP Director will show up all the physical networking details for you, all the fiber channel switches and Ethernet switches in my environment. And also, you can take actions and initiate some workflows, which we are going to talk in a minute. And same story for storage as well. If I click the storage within the Virtual Machine Manager console, you will see your physical storage details, logical utilization, physical utilization, which ports are used, and how many volumes you have. And you can also trigger some additional workflows, like creating a volume or attaching the volume to the blades and so on. So that's one thing that helps you to use the Virtual Machine Manager as a single pane of glass to manage hypervisor workflows or hypervisor management, and also for the hardware management. So now I will jump to the Internet Explorer to show a better resolution. So you can also access the same page through the our URL, ucpmanagement/UI. So that's the main overview of dashboard. So here, let me click. Here you see a general overview of my physical infrastructure. So I have a storage pool, and the free space is more than 99. And I have four servers here. I have four Ethernet switches. And we just configured two to be monitored. So you see two are green and two are gray. And we also have four fiber channel switches. And on the right-hand side, you see chassis details. We only have one chassis and four blades. Actually, we have eight blades right now, but we choose to manage only the four blades to make them manageable by UCP Director, because we want to use remaining four blades for other tasks like creating, scale out file server or any additional tasks. So we just choose four blades to be manageable by UCP Director. So here you see chassis details, and I have four servers. I deployed Hyper-V bare metal provisioning for the three of them, and the last one is not configured yet, but I can deploy a Linux or standalone Windows or Hyper-V through the UCP Director workflows. So if I click any of them, that will jump to the dedicated page for the elements. So if I click here, or servers, you will see all the server details in your environment. So right now we have one chassis, as I said before, and four blade servers. If I expand one of the blades, you will see all the details for this blade. IP address, network address, WWN, WWPN, and also Ethernet switches, which means which this blade is connected to the which ports on my physical switches. So all the IP addresses and port numbers and the status, and same for the fiber channel switches and EFI settings. So you can see you will have a general overview or visibility of your compute. And there are also some pre-built baked into the UCP workflow, UCP workflows that you can initiate from the console. For instance, for the chassis, I can just click here to start a chassis command line. So you can directly, you know, connect to your chassis command line and do anything you want. So you don't need to worry about find the IP address and install Java and do all the things. And if I go back, you can start chassis console. And if I click here, you will see chassis details, on modules, management modules, switch modules. And same for all particular blades as well. So this is my first blade, which is managed by UCP Director. And there are some pre-built workflows here, like configure host storage, configure cluster storage. We will discuss what is different between these two workflows. And also configure switch VLANs. We will discuss this later on as well. And also some basic tasks like opening a console or turning on the LID or power on and power off. So you can do some basic tasks which is required for virtualization admin through the same UCP Director console. So you can access the web page or you can manage the same workflows within the virtual machine manager. And all these actions are also available through the API. So let me go through the each step quickly, and then we will walk through the workflows. So here, you see all the storage details, physical storage details, how many ports you are using, what is the utilization. And also, you will see here how many pools you have. You can create any pool you want on your storage, but I only choose that DP0, Dynamic Pool 0, will be managed by UCP Director. So UCP Director can use this pool to create the volumes, to create boot volumes, or to create volumes and attack them to the cluster members. So this pool is managed by UCP Director. So you don't need to worry about zoning or all the configuration you need to do for a, to create a volume and attack it to the blades.
And here we have it the same way. It's shared, you know, it's not dedicated to UCP, so we have a shared environment.
Yeah.
And you just see what the UCP Director is configured for, let's say. It could be, you know, handling, you know, old Unix, whatever, Linux, LANs. And on the storage side, you also can do like a multi-tenancy setup, so you create some resource groups.
Yeah. And more visibility here. You see all available pools. How many pools I have, and also ports, which ports are connected to the which servers, and what is the WWPN, and all the details for see the general overview of your storage environment, and also the networking tab shows the physical networking details for you, Ethernet switches and fiber channel switches, and the same story here. You can expand and see the, all the details for a particular. Ethernet switches.
It takes a lower one.
Sorry? It
takes a lower one. You have
Yeah, the resolution is not
the
very
chassis
good.
One? No.
But you can see here there are some pre-built tasks like creating a backup for a running Ethernet switches and restore it, or you can immediately open a SSH console from within the virtual machine manager. So you don't need to download the PuTTY and connect, open a separate session. And you can do some basic connection settings here, and all the ports and on which port you configured VLANs, you see. And you see all the details here for networking as well. So before jumping to the provision, let me show you some basic workflows here and here. So if I click my cluster, so you see all the physical blade details. If I right-click here, you see there are two more options embedded into the native virtual machine manager menu, configure cluster network and configure cluster storage. So configure cluster storage, and we also have one more, configure blade storage or server storage. It's a pre-built workflow that allows you to create and attack volumes to your cluster members or for particular server. So these are the available existing volumes in my storage DP pool. You see how many pool I have and which pool assigned to which blades here. So my NL CSV01 is LDAP ID and all the details, capacity, and it's attached to these servers only. I can click expand here to expand the volume, and I can click detect volume to detect this volume from the servers. So this is just a workflow. You just clicked it, and yes or no. So all the zoning and all the ugly things in the background are taken care by UCP director. So you don't need to worry about calling the storage guy or networking guy or opening a separated console to do this. And you can also create a new volume or attach these existing volumes to the current managed blades. So if I click create volume, you will see one page wizard, which is very straightforward. And you can just format Windows, still coming, and fill out all the details, label, S01, and disk size, this is the minimum size. And UCP Director does all the port selection for you, but you can also configure it if you want to do some manual configuration. And but if you click auto, UCP Director will choose the best port for you to configure it. And you see all the available pools. Just click it, and next, and submit. So once you click the submit, UCP Director creates a job for you. And this job does everything for the creating a volume on the storage and attaching and zoning and attaching it to the server blades. But the good thing is, we are saying that you don't need to jump out of the virtual machine manager. So I created a job, and if I click here, quickly, jobs, you will see that same job also created within the virtual machine manager. So the main idea is there's one single console, virtual machine manager, and if you create any workflow or if you create trigger any workflow through the UCP director, you will see all the available jobs and all the triggered jobs here, and you can see the details as well.
Excuse me, is this a volume, cluster shared volume, or is it only attached to zeros in the cluster?
If I click format, it's formatted as a CSV, and at the end of the workflow, if you open the failover cluster, you will see it as a clustered disk, and everything is ready. Yeah,
yeah. We have not created new things. We just, it's a workflow more or less. You can do everything by your own. You can call the storage guy, the network guy, or you do it, and you make a cluster volume, you format it, but the workflow does everything for you basically. And the main idea is to save you time, right? So you say, make a new CSV, and then do something else, not looking at the console. That is a trick, right? If you look and watch it, you spend the same time as before, right?
Yeah. So you can do this for particular blades or for all cluster members as well. So also, let me show you quickly how to trigger network workflow. So if I click configure cluster network, it's a one-page workflow, which is very straightforward. And you see all the blades in your cluster because I right-click my cluster, and these are the available cluster members, Hyper-V0 and Hyper-V1, and these are the Ethernet switches, and these are the VLAN information. But that's the tricky point here. And on the current switch VLAN, you see all the available VLAN which is applied to the physical switches. But on the right-hand side, tag switch port VLANs from host means that the VLANs that you configure on Virtual Machine Manager. So if you are managing your virtualization environment with Virtual Machine Manager, I'm sure that you are using logical networking here, right? You are creating logical network for different purposes or different location. And if you click the properties and network site, you can create additional network site or add or remove VLANs. So let me add one VLAN here. I decided to add one more VLAN and put the VLAN tag and do the subnet. So this is what we are usually doing using the Virtual Machine Manager, right? Creating tenant site or logical network and adding VLAN. So if I click OK and go back to here, normally in every 15 minutes, UCP Director refresh its inventory. Means that it reads the configuration from Virtual Machine Manager and writes them to the UCP Director database. But you can just trigger the refresh instead of waiting 15 minutes. Refresh, let me go through the network and click the refresh here, refresh inventory, and a new job will be created. So you can also see the job here. A refresh Ethernet switch inventory job is created. So now I will go back to the same workflow. I hope the refresh completed. So you see, current switch VLAN is still same because these are the physical switch VLANs. But on the right-hand side, you see 155 is the new VLAN that we added to the Virtual Machine Manager. But you need to call the network guy and say that I added a VLAN. Can you please apply it to the physical switches? But instead of doing this, you can just click Submit here. That's it. So this new VLAN is applied to the physical switches. And you don't need to worry about which port should I apply and blah, blah, because it's already here and you just press the submit. It reads the configuration from Virtual Machine Manager and apply it to the physical switches. That's it. Okay? And you can do it with API. I will show you now. So let me quickly finish the tabs here. Provisioning, as Udo mentioned, we have server profiles and server templates. Server profile is, you know, picking up the physical identities from the blade slots like UUID and WWN, WWPN, IP address, MAC address, get them, pick them from the blade slot and put them into an object, logical object, which we are calling as server profiles. So that's a great story for instance, if you want to replace one of your blades, let's say that one of your blades is failed and you put a new blade here. So you need to configure zoning from scratch, right? You need to configure all the previous configuration from scratch to boot the or to get the same configuration. But instead of this, I can just let me click here. I can just apply my server profile to this new blade. So this new blade will inherit all the previous configuration from the failed blade. So you don't need to worry about zoning again and doing all the configuration. So it will be ready, and it's really great story for onboarding new blades or changing blades in case of any failure. But that's only for hardware. We also have server templates, which is completing story on the software side. Server templates means that which operating system you want to provision. Linux or Windows or Hyper-V, and also let me open here and show you the details. And which answer file you want to use, which boot image you want to use, and do you want to add additional volumes, and etc. All this stuff. And at the end of the day, you will just apply a service template to a blade, which allows you to build a blade from scratch up until to the OS level and creating the cluster. So the first step on the service template applying process is the apply server profile. So the first thing is it's applying the server profile and then booting from PXE and applying the operating system. Maybe you know that you can do bare metal provisioning in Virtual Machine Manager. You can do scale-out file server bare metal provisioning and Windows Hyper-V, but you cannot do Linux bare metal provisioning in Virtual Machine Manager. So this is one thing that you can extend the capabilities of Virtual Machine Manager using the UCP director, because it is very easy to configure Linux bare metal provisioning using the service templates. So service template is an end-to-end building a blade from scratch, including the server profile. Okay.
So from the time perspective, it takes around 1 hour.
Yeah.
But it does all your ugly tasks, you know?
Creating and boot volumes
creating
and
storage
from scratch, yeah.
Yeah.
Storage, network teaming, and so on.
Yeah. So the network teaming comes then from the virtual machine manager, right? So you apply. We stop. We normally say we do all the ugly things below the hypervisor.
Hypervisor, yeah.
And creating, you know, virtual switches or so, it's a feature from virtual machine manager. So why should we create a new API for that? It's already there. So, you know, so we stop on the.
You can combine the workflows,
yeah,
right, using the API. So the last tab is for the event and jobs. On the jobs, when you initiate a new workflow, this a new job will be created, and you can see it here or see it on the Virtual Machine Manager jobs pane. And for each job, you can see all the related events. So you see, I just created a configure Ethernet switch VLAN settings, and all the events related to job are sitting here. And you can also see the events. You can export events easily. To send it to our support guys, and this pane is just for, you know, to see what's going on in the background. So, anything you want to add here, or
it's just we extended, you know, the export log files a little bit. The guys who have already experience with different support departments from different vendors, right? It's always please send me 2,000 log files and whatever.
Yeah.
So here the trick is. It says one button, create a log file for everything and send it to the support, you know? And then you get out of this 2 weeks collecting logs and things like that.
Yeah.
So it also is made for making it easier. Right?
So let me jump to the PowerShell to show you how API is strong. This is just a basic PowerShell. I know you all using PowerShell, I hope, because you know, it's a must tool for Microsoft admins or virtualization admins. So that I just created a basic PowerShell script to show you how UCP Director API can be used within the PowerShell to consume the hardware resources. That's a great example because if you have an API, consistent API for both VMware and Hyper-V, that means you can consume your infrastructure from any endpoint. You can use SMA, service management automation, Azure automation, or self-service portal you built in-house. So let me show you a quick demo. So that's just one single API call. UCP management, blah, blah, and slash about. So this REST API call gives all the information regarding your UCP director infrastructure. So I see my instance ID version, and it says this is a Hyper-V environment, Virtual Machine Manager, and also the serial number. So here I don't show you the details, but I am also reading all the cluster, server, and storage system details and putting them in a hash table in PowerShell. The good thing is, without changing any single line of code, because I'm also helping our VMware guys for the demos, and I don't like them, but I'm helping them. So I'm without changing any single line of code, I can just pick this PowerShell code and put it on the VMware, and it just works. Because API is same, one single consistent API for both environments, which is really great, especially for the automation and orchestration scenarios. So let me show you. This is what I created. You can create anything you want because API provides 100% functionality of the GUI. Okay? So this is just what I created, provision, monitoring, and troubleshooting. So let's say I click one, and one again, storage, and select three. Create a new volume and attack to an existing volume. So you remember this is the same workflow I just showed you, and it is also one single RESTful API. So if I click here, you can do this with one single line of code, but I just wanted to show you how to read the information. So script does asks for the on which cluster you want to create a volume. So this is why I put it here, available cluster in my UCP directory environment. So let me write it here, comp cluster 01. So the next thing is it asks for storage IDs. I have only one storage ID, and I pointed here the ID number. That's the ID. So now I am reading storage without, I'm not using storage API. I'm not using network API or compute API. Just one single UCP directory API to get all the information from your fabric components. So these are the available pools. Let me show you. And pool ID is 0. Okay, so do you want to format the volume or not? Yes, to make it CSV, and name and size, are you sure? Yes, that's it. So this is one single RESTful API call and does everything for you in the background now. A new job is created on the UCP directory, a new job is created on the virtual machine manager. And let me show you one more thing. So job should be here already. What's going on? Yeah. Here's a new job already created. So I can also, you know, see the monitoring and get the details from compute, okay? But this is what I did. I make it green and red, but the idea is you can consume your infrastructure from anywhere using one single API, one single authentication, and one single RESTful API call. And also, it's a good example of how you can combine workflows above the hypervisor and below the hypervisor. For instance, on the first one allows you, this is a script that I created, and it's just reading all the virtual machine manager details and allows you to create VLANs on the virtual machine manager. This is nothing about the UCP director. So in one single workflow, I'm creating VLANs for my virtual machine manager, but at the end of the workflow, I am asking that, do you want to apply these VLANs to the physical switches? If I click yes, this is a one single RESTful API. It will be applied, like we did a couple of minutes ago, okay? So I don't want to do all the things from here because we are running out of time, I guess. The main idea is API is great and you can consume it from anywhere. And for VMware and Microsoft, we have only one single well-documented API. We have a 400-page API documentation that you can find all the details. And for instance, if you want to get the details, you will just use the get. If you want to do something, you need to use put. You know, this is a general standard. And what else? And also we have, the last thing I want to show here is SCOM management pack. It's a very new management pack that our engineers created. It's a SCOM management pack for UCP directory environments. We already have server management pack or storage management pack, which monitors and get the performance and health details from servers and storage individually. But we also have one single management pack for the whole infrastructure, for the whole UCP environment. So here you can see all the details, and it also supports multiple pods. It supports Hyper-V, it supports VMware. So you see I have one UCP directory environment, and this is the serial number, all the available Ethernet switches, fiber channel switches, storage system, and there are also some additional performance and let me show you performance monitors here. So you can see here, select any of them to see the performance details. So it's just a basic management pack, but if you are using SCUM, you know that you can easily extend the management packs. So I don't have it here, but I just created fancy dashboards, put our sexy blades on it, and put the green lights, because SCUM just discovers the objects, and it's up to you how sexy dashboards you can create or not. So we are just providing you a management pack and all the discovery rules, which is getting all the health information, performance information, and availability information from the UCP director, so you can play with it easily.
And the view is always the complete stack. No? It's not collecting everything, single thing by itself, so you just talk to the director, because the director knows how good is the stack feeling. You know, it's not talking to blades and talking to storage.
Actually, it is leveraging UCP Director API. Yeah. SCUM Management Pack also using the API. Okay. It's all for me.
All for the demos?
Looks like, yeah.
Yeah, so we have a few other things to say, if you like, and then we can do some questions if you have. So we have something else, what the American guy says, what we have on the truck, right? And we have some sexy scale-out file server. So surprise, surprise. If you take a compute node and a storage node and put Windows Server on it and enable 2-3 features, you get a scary scale-out file server solution, you know. It's very tricky for SAN-oriented friends we have in our company, but yeah, on the end.
Lots of friends, right?
We created new friends also, let's say. So that's just an example of a building block for a bigger service provider. So you take, you know, our Hitachi storage in the size you like, or you can also share it, but it's just as a building block. You take our blade systems, put in, you know, the 40 gig cards if you need it, and provide a SMB3 scale-out file server solution. You know, it could be 4 nodes on one side, 4 nodes on the other side. So we can, right now in the 2012 version, you don't have, you know, sync capability in the server. So you could use now your storage HA feature to have sync replication between the storage. And maybe in the next version, you will use, you know, storage replica from Microsoft. But you have the choice. So, and on the compute block side, you can have, you know, the CB500, Compute Blade 500, which is the main chassis you have seen before for virtualization. We also can take a bigger one to build, you know, big SQL servers or the cheap ones, which are, you know, the hidden Quantas to have, you know, high-scale compute nodes, which have maybe a different SLA, you know, it can fail faster. So what we have showed you is, you know, so what we called, you know, like an appliance mode. So you have one building block which is pre-baked for you with all the workflows. On the other side, we still have, you know, PowerShell for storage, PowerShell for compute as a single adapter. We call that Microsoft adapters, and it's like Lego. Means not one is bad and one is the ugly. Both is cool, but on the right side, you author automation workflow, right? You write your scripts, you write your automation. On the left side, you have the below hypervisor workflows already done, you know? So this is a tricky point, right? So, and you have to find out by yourself if you're a customer or on the left or right side, you know? You like more the building block approach because you don't want to talk everybody every day about hardware, right? It just needs to run. So, and you just create something on it. Or you do the automation on the right side, which we do also for 2016. So we take, you know, the adapter approach in the next months, and we build the same stack running just the adapter or using the adapter for automation. And then we will see, you know, in October timeframe, it's a GA date from Windows Server 2016, some kind of. So we will see, you know, a stack which is using the adapter. The director will also support 2016, but this will take a few months more because of the qualification. You know, we just not put the stuff on a new Windows server. We just need to test it. And the version we get, what we are allowed to use for testing, is coming, you know, not next week. So means we start quite early in August maybe or September, but it will take until the beginning of the next year to have a 2016 solution for UCP Director, because the testing is quite hard, you know. Yeah, and also we will have some Hitachi branded, you know, servers for hyperconverged or disaggregated scale-out file server Hyper-V things, because System Center will support that, right? And the red one is just for the guys who don't know what's coming down the road next year. So in 2016, June, July timeframe, Intel decided to change, you know, the architecture completely. So we will see really freaking fast bus systems inside the server. Everybody has to, let's say, build a new server, not just Hitachi. So all our friends in the compute area need to create a new structure, and then we will have a real cool hyper-converged setup, right? Because PCI Express 4.0 or, you know, a lot of PCI lanes talking to CPU and all these new sexy shiny things. And we will see that in the middle of next year, you know? 2016 comes out end of this year. We will have, you know, some Hitachi branded solutions for that, but the real kicker for hyperconverged, in my point of view, is a new server platform next year. And this will, you never will see their spinning disk, so it all will be NVMe flash in the memory slot and all this kind of things. What the new Skylake platform brings us, you know. That's it. Anything you have not seen or you have a question on? What is the difference between a normal reference architecture or a UCP director stack? I guess, I hope we made it clear that, you know, the API is a killer feature and the rest is hardware, right? I mean.
When you restore a blade you were talking about, do you get the configuration from a backup data or a configuration database?
That's from, when you remember the page, I can show you quickly, no problem. The man in the middle, oops. Hope you see it.
Do I have to back up the data on a timely basis, or do I have a consistent schema where I can pull my data from the last known?
Yeah, so we put, you know, the what you always need if you do automation, like we do, you need a repository, right? You need to know what is connected where and what is consumed by who, and we put that in a SQL database, you know? And sure, you need to back up that database, but on the end, you know what happened all the last 2 years is in your database. All the jobs, everything is in the database, you know? And that is, if you build it, you know, this Lego type approach, where you are the automation guy, you need to build something else, right? Because you can fire PowerShell to everything, but who knows what is running where? What is connected where? Which port I need to configure as the VLANs or so? And yeah, that is, you know, why it takes a little bit more than just writing 100 page to where to plug in the blue and the red cable, and then it's installed, and then you do it as before, right? So the building block is just you have a guidance how to plug it in and how to install it, but the director is made for daily operations, you know? That is a difference, I guess, you know, and it's, we think it's really a strong tool we have there, you know, but you have to be, you need to understand what it does, you know. You don't go, you know, then in the data center and cable things by yourself, so it's pre-built, if you like, and you get it rolled in the data center and you just buy, you know, maybe more compute and more storage, and that's it, right? So you can extend it, for sure. But you don't. The operations model is the key. So you don't waste your time in learning how to zone a fiber channel LAN, right? Or whatever. Anything you have learned new or?
the whole UCP is one building.
Correct.
Right.
Good point. We forget that sometimes because we are just here for UCP, right? And in our mind, you buy that as a UCP director or as a UCP 4000 appliance. The only thing what you can already have and what we can use is your storage. So if you have an Hitachi storage already, And you can say, OK, 50% are for my normal workload, and the other 50% I take for my UCP director approach. Then we can hook up, you know? You know, maybe we sell also really big suckers, you know, G1000 for more than 10 bucks, and so you can share that. But if you have already compute and you have already Hitachi storage, there is no trick to make a UCP director environment out of it, you know? But that's the trick here is more the salespeople maybe have not told that correctly to you, let's say, before. And we often have this question that, okay, where's the ISO file for the director? There's no ISO file. For sure we have an ISO file, but the director comes with the appliance, you know? So there are 1, 2, 3, 4 racks are rolling into your data center, and there is the director already on. And so the only trick is to use the storage. But if you have already bought pieces, means compute or Ethernet from Cisco or whatever, it's not possible. I mean, it would be technically possible, but from the process point of view, it's not possible, right? So because you have to buy it as one solution. In our database, it's not filled in like compute and storage, so it's, the appliance has one serial number, and behind that one serial number, you have all the components listed. And when a guy goes out, he knows he's talking to a, or he's repairing a UCP and not a compute blade, you know? I mean, it's different. I know what you mean, but yeah, the only thing is storage. If you have already storage, you can hook it up, but that's it, yeah. So the rest you have to buy it as a building block or apply. If you say appliance, sometimes it sounds ugly, right? But I say it because you have to think about it's a block you buy and you operate, and it's good for maybe 2,000, 3,000, 8,000 virtual machines. That is your, you don't talk about, you know, cables or, but yeah, you have to buy it as a block. Okay. Okay. So thanks a lot. Hope something new you have learned or seen or how to operate the stack. And yeah, we are here the whole day. We also have a German speaking guy, if you can live with my Bavarian, we also can have a talk, but...
Turkish speaking.
Also. And Turkish we have also, and...
It's a second language here, right?
Or Michael Vogt is our friend here, also for the partners, and yeah, let's have a chat.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.